It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Actually, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Mama Pearl, wherever you are. God bless you, Mom. You were a great mom. How you put up with the five of us. Whew, a lot of good times in there, though, I'm sure. And I just got to acknowledge my wife, Michelle. And what a mommy she is. What a grandmommy she is. And you know, it's kind of amazing. I was thinking today, I'm 67. I'm enjoying my life with her now more than I ever did. And just watching her flourish as a grandmother and as a mother, and just publicly say, I don't know where our family would be without you, Mom. So praise the Lord. Hey, do me a favor. Want you to do a favor? I don't wear my hats on Sunday. I want to look a little bit more dignified, I guess. Got my hat right here. I could put it on. Whoops, how'd that get stuck in my hand? I can put my hat on, but I'm not, because folks, we're trying to reach out to more people. And here's what I'd like you to do before. I want you to do two things before we get really rolling in today's show. That's what church is, isn't it? Hasn't it become a show? Number one, get a pencil and paper, because I'm going to do some training, teaching stuff today that I think will do you well if you take notes. Take some notes. And when you get in your own private Bible reading, your own private study, maybe some of these things will be called to your remembrance and make a little bit more sense. So if you would do that. And then number two, I'm going to give you a chance right now. I'll give you about 3 minutes. Text others and have them tune in. I'm not kidding. I think this is going to be that impactful this morning, a teaching. I'm not going to yell at you and scream and holler at you about the government and all that stuff. I'm going to do a teaching today, and I think it'll be really, really good. So just text somebody. Say, go to Coach Dave Live. There's a lot of places you can watch the show. But just go to CoachDaveLive.com. We're always here. We're always here. Sometimes we get knocked off YouTube. Sometimes we get knocked off Facebook. We are always here. CoachDaveLive.com. So get out your phone right now. Pull it up there and text somebody. Say, hey, tune in. This will be good. Say, this will be good for you this morning. Tune in. You'll enjoy it. Something like that. Maybe people that you've talked to before about joining us here on Sunday mornings. And trying to get my phone to work here. Sorry, man. So do it. I'm giving you a couple minutes to be able to do that. A couple seconds. Text them. We're live on Facebook and YouTube and a lot of other places. But if they just come to CoachDaveLive.com, they'll be able to gather this there. Okay, good. Do that. Do that as we roll here. Let me see. Coach, what are you doing? Let's go right here. Okay. Also, real quickly, Sheldon, if you can, take them to our website. I want people to know that there's a lot of videos and everything on our website that can be of use to you. We're not trying to make money off of you. Sheldon, kick that up there real quick. I want to show you guys how to be able to do that. There's our website. We have a lot of videos on there aren't videos necessarily that we've created, but with this whole coronavirus stuff and all the things that's going on, we sort through a lot of things, a lot of information that I think might be valuable to you. And then we also have a link on here that I think it requires a $1 subscription, I think. Sheldon, where would it be that they can go and see all the other videos that I've made? Again, that's for people who've never been there. I don't think that's it. Folks, there's a lot of, I've got thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of video on our website, available stuff that you can watch. Not just the show, little short videos that I've made over the years. Sheldon, I still don't feel like you're on the right page. I don't know why. These are ones we've just recently posted. These are the ones behind the paywall, as we called it, where people, it doesn't matter. Just a lot of good stuff there, folks. A lot of good stuff. Who out there is going to see? Okay, now, Sheldon, now you're getting somewhere. Video platform. Click on that. Click on video platform. You may not ask me the same thing. I'll do it next week. We're getting some squeaking in the background. Somebody needs to mute themselves. I don't know who that is. Getting some echo in the background. Again, folks, now listen, if you want to join the show at any time, over here I have a list of, I can see everybody who's listening, at least on our website. Now, some of you are watching on Facebook. Some of you are watching on YouTube. You're watching other places. But if you want to do what we call join the queue, you go to our homepage, CoachDaveLive.com, and you click on join the queue. Can you show them that real quickly, Sheldon? I'm sorry. And then you can become an interactive part. See where it says join the queue right there in that light green? You click on that, and it brings you right into the show. And so if you're already in the show, which right now we have 30-some people that are in there, you have to have a microphone. Well, you don't have to. If you want to speak, microphone, camera ready to go. And then you can do interactive. And if you want to say something, like I said, is anybody out there? What do you think about this? If you're in the queue, all you have to do is click on that little red microphone on your screen, and it unmutes you. Then we get to hear from you. So this is an interactive program. I believe church is best done when it's interactive. I think one of the problems we have in church is people go and sit and listen. They engage in praise and worship, whatever that means, and then they sit down there, and some guy up front sits there and talks to them. And I think it's kind of hindered our spiritual growth. So praise the Lord. Hey, Jeff Nell out there in Fallon, Nevada. How about leading us in prayer here real quick? Jeff, we open up.
Of course, Coach. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for having the benefit, the privilege to be here in this group to glorify you and edify you in all things, Father God. Lord, may you bless and increase the Holy Spirit within Coach Dave, Father God, to give the message that he believes is on his heart that you have given to him, Father God. May be able to learn and exhort and to have the ability to be stronger as we take on the challenge of each day. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jeff. Hey, folks, listen, I'm going to do a training today. I got up this morning, sitting kind of around, we lit a fire this morning, believe it or not. We have a gas stove, and Michelle and I were sitting around the crackling fire, and all of a sudden Ephesians 6 came to me. And I said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I got thinking about it, and I said, the problem that we have, this is me now, okay? I was a Christian a long, long time before I understood that there was an invisible world around us. Sheldon, you can pull that down there. I want that up here. We'll get there in a second. There's an invisible world around us, folks. We live in a natural world where we have five senses and we can see with our eyes. But there's an invisible world, an invisible kingdom around us. Actually, it's a multi-layered kingdom that's around us. And I am liking it to the idea of being in a fish tank. You ever walked into an aquarium? I love to go to the Columbus Zoo and take my kids down into the aquarium where those big old fish are swimming down in there. And we're all on the outside and we're looking in at the fish. And we're watching them swim around. We're seeing everything that they do. And they have no idea we're watching because they are in a underground realm. We're in an above ground realm. So when you walk out and you look at some lake and the depth of the lake or the depth of the ocean, understand that the fish down inside that, the fish and the turtles and the sharks, they think the ocean is the whole world. If you were to talk to a fish about the whole world, they don't have any idea that there's a world outside there that you can throw a hook in there and hook them and pull a fish up out of the water into the natural world. They don't know that's there. That's called a dimension. It's a different dimension. Well, there's another dimension around us, folks, that we're not aware of either. It's called a spiritual dimension. It's where God is. We call it the heavenlies. It's where God is. It's where the angels are. It's where the demons are. It's where this spiritual battle takes place. And I never understood that. I was a Christian a long time and never understood that. And that when the scriptures tell us, make sure I pull this up in the right way. that the weapons of our warfare, go ahead and pull that up there, Sheldon. Click on the Bible Gateway first one, the weapons of our warfare. Folks, we are in a spiritual war. And the spiritual war is this. This tells us in Genesis 4, after Adam and Eve fell, that he would put an enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, between her seed and his seed. There'd be an eternal fight going on. And that's what we see, and we call it a spiritual war, not understanding that the spiritual war world impacts the natural world, that the demons and the principalities and powers. And by the way, where did you come from before you were born? When the scripture says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. How's that even possible? Where is God? Where are the angels? Where are demons? Do you even believe in demons and angels? Do we even believe that? Do we understand what it means when somebody says we need to take authority over that? Do we have any understanding? Now, we know that according to Ephesians 6, and this is what got me going here this morning. Stay with me. We'll lay groundwork. I'll let some of you jump in here real quick. I think this is, again, text him right now. Now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and in base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech, let's go to verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, natural man, we do not war after the flesh. So let me point out two things here. There are two wars here that are going on. There's a fleshly war and there's a spiritual war that's going on. It says, though we're in a body and we walk in the flesh, that's not where our body. See, a lot of you are fighting a battle of the flesh. It's not a spiritual battle. It's your carnal nature. You overeat, you smoke cigarettes, you drink beer, a lot of different things, right? That's not the devil, folks. That's your carnal nature. So when it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare. Folks, we're at war. Do you see this? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, what did I just say to you about carnal? Those are the things that you just naturally, as a non-born-again man, are going to do to feed the flesh. You're just going to feed the flesh. So you want to hear somebody talk about the carnal man. It's more than just the body. It's also the carnal mind, thinking like a natural man. The Bible tells us that the natural man, the unregenerated man, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you've never been born again of the Spirit of God, the Bible tells us that you cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Spiritual things don't make sense to you if you're not born again of the Spirit of God. So what tells us right here? But then it goes on to say, weapons of warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What does that even mean? What is a stronghold? How do I pull it down? If it's an invisible kingdom, how do I pull down these strongholds? And so he explains it to us. Casting down imaginations. What? Yeah, your thought life. Take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let me back up a minute. Casting down imaginations and every high thing. What's a high thing? What is a high thing? Casting down imaginations and every high thing. And then it says, God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Folks, are there high things putting thoughts in your mind? Are there high things that are doing that? Could that be what he means when he says we don't walk in the flesh? We walk, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you understand? I'm going to keep going here in a minute, but I'm going to stop because I don't want to lose anybody here, okay? Do you understand that we are in a natural fish tank? Do you understand that? Do you understand? Hey, Davey, my grandson's coming down here on Mother's Day. Do you understand that in this natural fish tank that we have? Hey, Dave, say hi to everybody here real quick.
Hi.
Say hi, folks. Do you understand that in this natural fish tank in which we live, that somehow the devil and angels and demons, well, they're the ones with the fishing poles. They're outside of this natural world. And they're throwing hooks down in there. They're putting worms down in there, and they're trying to hook us, right? And we're not smart enough to understand that that we're swimming in this natural fish tank being influenced by forces outside of here that we can't see. We're in the ocean, and there's fishing boats up on top trying to hook us. Making sense? If you don't get that, if we don't get this aspect of this war that we're fighting, if we don't get it, we're never going to understand it. See, folks, the battle that's going on in America right now with the coronavirus, it's a spiritual war. See, what do you mean, Coach? It's being generated and happening outside of our tank. It's in this invisible kingdom, this invisible world that's all around us. We can't see it. In fact, they say you have to have spiritual eyes to see it. Now, I'm going to stop right now, and I'm going to let somebody come in if they have a question, if they have a comment, if they have something that edifies or whatever, because I don't want to move beyond this very point. Thanks for coming down, Dave. I'll see you in a little bit. I don't want to move beyond this very point and leave you behind if you don't understand this concept of it. So I'm looking over here right now on what I call my panel. If you have something that you would like to say, interactive, just unmute yourself. When you unmute yourself, I'll see it and I'll call you. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. That's what it tells us in Ephesians. I haven't even gotten there yet. Anybody want to join in? I don't want to leave anybody behind.
Hey, Coach.
Yay. Hey, yes, sir. Come on in, Vinny. Vinny's in, in New York City, folks. Go ahead.
Yep, Vinny from Brooklyn. Hey, listen, we have a mission here. The mission the mission is to save some souls, right? And the mission gets tiresome sometimes, but this is what you do. Take a break and then get back to business. Because at the end of the day, and it's a saying I hate because it just means like,
Vinny, you're breaking up here a little bit. Let me
everything in 24 hours. No. The mission,
Vinny, you're breaking up. Vinny, I don't know if it's your side or mine. One side. So, go ahead and mute him. Thank you. Folks, listen. Don't understand. Don't forget that.
The mission is ongoing. Amen, brother.
You are a spirit who lives in a body and you possess a soul. You are not a body. You live in a body. So the part of you that lives in this body is able to be impacted by this invisible world around us. Some of us don't even know it. Some of us don't even know that we're being impacted by this spiritual world around us. But we are. And until we understand that our thought life a lot of times is what? Casting down imaginations. We're getting thoughts. We're having things planted in our head we don't even think about because it's coming from that unnatural world, that spiritual world. Larry, come on in.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have, you're absolutely right. There are two different realms, the natural realm, which we are not a part of. We are in it, but not of it. And there's a spiritual realm, which we are of, but not really, well, I guess to some extent we are in, how much we recognize we're in. But a lot of people have the idea that everything they consider negative is of the evil spiritual realm. But I bet the people in Sodom and Gomorrah thought that all that fire and brimstone coming down was pretty negative, but that was straight from God. I bet that Jerusalem being ransacked and the people drug off as slaves was considered negative, but that was straight from God. We are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual and of a spiritual realm, but we have to be very discerning. When it comes, the one thing the Bible tells us to learn and to practice discerning is evil from good. And we need to make sure that we practice that and we start getting better and better and better at it.
Yeah, but folks, listen. For those of you maybe, I don't know who our audience is today. I never know who the audience is here today. Listen, folks, you don't go to heaven, whatever that would be. By the way, where would that be? Where would heaven be? And where would hell be? Well, it taught us up and down. Up and down. I mean, is that really they're trying to get us to be able to understand up and down, but I don't think it's up and down. although it could be. I don't think it's up and down. And so as those of us who are spiritual beings living in a natural body, where did we come from and where do we go? And is it a long way off? Is heaven a long way off, or is it just right here and I can't see it? Is the spiritual realm, is the spirit, would it be just, can I just stick my hand in the water? Is it that close? Is it really that close? And we don't understand that you don't, when you die and you leave this body, we all go somewhere. I'm not going to talk today about whether you go to heaven or whether we go to hell. That we all know this. When someone dies, a friend of yours dies, you say, well, he passed on, or he went to a better place. Or we have this cognitive understanding that they go somewhere. But you go to the funeral and you look in the casket and they're laying in the casket. They didn't go anywhere. There they are. No. You understand that there's someone living inside you. That's you. You have a body, but you are a spirit. You are a spirit that possesses a soul. You're a soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. All right. So those things are being impacted by the outside world now in the process of life and death. Dying is where do you go? So, Scripture tells us that the natural man, that's me without the Holy Spirit, I can't even understand this stuff. So the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. It's foolishness to him. So you're walking around in a world where a lot of people haven't received the things of God. And they think when you start talking about Jesus and heaven and hell, they think you're a fool. Why? Because they can't understand it. Why can't they understand it? They don't have the spiritual download. They don't have the Holy Spirit to guide them into all truth. And so a lot of the things we see going on in America, I guess they're evil people, but they're people who've never received Jesus, and so they're being controlled by this unnatural. Am I making sense? Am I making sense? Somebody help me out here. Are you picking up what I'm laying down? Do you understand that your natural body, your natural existence is being impacted by an invisible world around us we can't see? Do you understand that aspect of it? Anybody that doesn't, somebody come on in here, man. I feel like I'm talking to myself, and I don't want to continue to do elementary stuff if you're ready to go to junior high. But some of you are still in elementary. So we have to get this very elementary principle down that you are a spirit who lives in a body and you possess a soul, and you are not a body. It's just what carries you around, and you are being impacted, influenced. Every one of us are being impacted, influenced every day by the spiritual realm, and we don't understand that. And until we understand, we can't have victory over it. Somebody over here wants to come in. I saw Jeff. Come on in.
Yeah, Coach. Talking about heaven in respect to the Bible, talks about streets of gold. He'll build a mansion for us, and so forth. And I'm out there and I preach the word of God. I like to say Revelation 21 verse 4, and this is the design where heaven be like, not just physical or spiritual in our spiritual realm. But he says this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away.
Why? Why have they passed away? Because we've moved into a new realm. Are they really streets? Is it really gold? Or is he just trying to explain it, saying silver and gold, because it's things we understand, we have concept of. Is that really what it is? It says the streets will be gold. Streets will be pavement, if you can, blacktop. The streets will be blacktop. I mean, this is stuff is so great. Randy, come on in.
Coach, I think to really get a good hold of this, 1 John 5 talks about, and I know this sounds deep, but it's really not. It talks about heaven and hell, or heaven and earth. Okay, he talks about the three witnesses in heaven are the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. There's the Trinity. Okay, Jesus is the Word. Okay, on earth, it's the water, the blood, and the Spirit. So, Coach, how do we connect it? It's by the Holy Spirit. He's a witness in heaven, and he's a witness on the earth. He's in us. Okay, how can Paul say, I sit with Christ in heavenly places? Because the Holy Spirit is in him, and he's also in heaven. That's why he said, I saw the third heaven. He didn't understand it all, but he did. He sought to see it. Coach, the Holy Spirit in us connects our spirit to the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. That's how we're connected.
To this other realm, Randy. That's what I'm talking about.
We're on the earth, right? We're in a natural body, right?
Right.
Hey, Randy.
Right.
What? Absolutely. Doesn't the word say that his spirit communicates to your spirit that you are his?
Jesus said when he on the cross, when he died, what did he say? Last words. Father, unto you I commend my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
What does Paul teach? He says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What's that? That is our spirit man leaves the body because he can't dwell there anymore. He goes to be with the Lord from then on. That's how it is.
So Randy, the point I want to make with people today is to understand. See, when we talk to people, I'm not directing this at you, Randy. When we talk to people and we begin to talk to them about heaven and hell, where are you going to go when you die, and all, there's so much of it that's lost only because people don't get it. They don't get it. They understand when someone dies, they go someplace, but they don't have any idea what that means. And then, even more importantly, most people don't really care about heaven and hell while they're here on earth. And so they don't understand that they're being impacted and manipulated by forces outside of this natural realm. That's what I want to talk with people about today. I don't care who you are. You are being impacted by an invisible world around you. You don't understand it. What if it's electrical waves? What if it's like 5G and 4G and AM and FM? What if there's an invisible world around us sending impulses to us that are causing us to think, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? If we're receiving these messages, that must be there is somebody sending these messages, and where are they? And I'm not just talking about God, I'm talking about the dark side, because our battle's not with God, at least it's not supposed to be, our battle's with the dark side. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Oh, principality. I'm going to get into that in a second. I heard someone else. We'll try it again. 630, Barry, is that you?
Yes, that's me, Coach. So how does all this, or should all this, be affecting our prayer life?
Oh, Gary, I'm on page 3 and you're on page 12. Hang on a second, man. I'm trying to lay a firm foundation here for people. Understand, because see, listen, here's what jumped out at me. When we read about Ephesians, we know what the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Where is that? Weapons of our war. We just had it up. Pull that back up there. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Isn't that where it is? Ephesians. Where
second,
am I, man?
2 Corinthians 10.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 10, back where we were, Sheldon. 2 Corinthians 10. Now, come on now, stay with me here. Casting down imaginations, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This program began when I said to my wife this morning, sitting around the fire, I said to her, honey, Corinthians tells us what our weapons are not, but it doesn't tell us what our weapons are. And so many of the church is stuck right here that our weapons are not carnal. See, folks, I don't know about you. I'm in a carnal world. I am in a physical world. My battle is spiritual, but it's showing up right here, man. It's showing up. Pornography trying to tempt you, cheating, stealing at works trying to tempt you. A lot of things going on. Dishonesty's tempting you. A lot of things. What? These are outside forces, I believe, trying to influence us. So we say, okay, Coach, I'm now born again of the Spirit of God, and I'm doing everything I can to live a godly life and fight against the darkness. Coach, what am I supposed to do? What do I do, Coach? I know what my weapons aren't. They aren't carnal. It's not punching somebody in the mouth. It's not kicking them in the goods. It's none of that, Coach. I know that, but what are they? If I'm fighting against this world, outside this world, what are they, Coach? Or better yet, is your pastor teaching that? Or is your pastor? I'm not trying to... Is your pastor giving you happy talk? 5 points in a poem on how to be happy. And meanwhile, we look around the world and the world is totally and completely falling in the hands of the evil one. And we can't figure out why. And we as Christians, we retreat and just pray that we would be safe. Oh, Lord, keep the devil away from me, please. But that's it. We're supposed to be taking ground. We're supposed to be tearing down kingdoms. We're supposed to be rooting out and pulling out. Why are we not doing it? I think we are doing it because when I said to my wife, honey, what are our weapons? She just kind of looked at me. And then she began to think, okay. That's why I told you to get a piece of paper and a pencil. I hope you did. I'll give you a chance. Also, I told you to text somebody. You better be texting them right now. Okay, so you got the piece of paper out there? Because I'm in Ephesians 6. Oh, no. Let's stop that first. Okay, that's okay. Let's go here. Let's go there. Go to verses. That's good, Sheldon. Go to verse 6, and let's go up to about verse 10. I'll show you something. Tells us how to treat each other. And then it says, okay, then he says this. He says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Now, this isn't the King James. Sheldon, did I not give you the King James? Because one thing you'll learn about me, I hate sissy Bibles. I hate sissy Bibles. And sissy Bibles are the ones who don't give us King James. I'm a King James guy because I think that King James has a rhythm to it you can memorize. Okay, it says, look, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look at this, folks. Brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's the Lord's might. It's the Lord's might that enables us to win these battles. This, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality. It's the Lord's might that gives us the ability to do it. And so he says this, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm stopping it. How can the wiles of the devil impact me in this world? The devil isn't here. No, he's impacting me through the invisible world around us. And he has wiles and he has plans and he has schemes. And he says, put on the full armor of God that you're going to be able to wrestle with this dude. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We already found that out. But what do we wrestle against? Principalities. Time out. The heck's that mean? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers. We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. What? There are dark rulers in this world. Where are they? Where are they? We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what our battle's against. Now, when this happens to us, it shows up in the natural realm. You look at your children, you can't understand why they're acting crazy. You look at Hillary Clinton and say, what's wrong with that woman? What's principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places? Outside the natural realm, people are being impacted by this supernatural world around us. That's why we put on the full armor. And I'm not going to get into the full armor right now. I want to settle in on principalities and go back up there a minute, Sheldon. I heard somebody try to get in there. Give me a second. For we wrestle not. Hey, looks to me like some wrestling going on. Doesn't look to me like I just sit in my house and get beat up. It looks to me like in a wrestling match, if you ever watch big time wrestling, sometimes you're on top and sometimes you're on the bottom. And sometimes you jump off the ropes and sometimes the guy jumps off the ropes onto you. But it's a battle. It's a back and forth. The Lord is showing us a picture of a military structure. Principalities, powers, rulers, levels of an army. The levels of an army. And we sit here in this world and we watch men marry men. We say, how can that possibly happen? No. We see men marry men and people say, that's okay. How can that possibly happen to us? How can it happen to us? Other than we're getting imaginations, thoughts, high and lofty things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Where are they gone from? I don't know, but we're supposed to take captive those thoughts when they come to us. When somebody comes to me and say, Coach, that woman across the street, she sure looks prettier than your wife. I'm going to tell you, that's not from the Lord. That came from someplace else. And I'm going to cast down that imagination and that high and lofty thing, and I'm going to run to the sanctity of my wife. I love my wife. That gives us the ability to get victory over sin. I need a month. This is so real. This is what's going on in our government, principalities and powers. Okay, Sheldon, I know somebody wants to get in there. I know. Stay with me a second. Stay with me. Sheldon, go to that email on Satan's hierarchy. Did you guys know that Satan has them? It's a standalone. There you are. Lucifer's hierarchy. Did you guys know this? Are you being taught this in your church? Are you asking yourself all the time, why am I getting my butt kicked? What's going on? If God is real and I pray to him every day, do you pray for victory? Do you pray that you, by the way, you are in a wrestling match. Do you ever pray that you get on top? Do you ever pray that the referee brings his hand down, pin? Do you ever do that? Or are we always in a defensive mode? Are we always trying to do whatever we can, put on the full armor of God, put it on and just stand there so you don't get hurt? Is that the Christian position? Is that what we're supposed to do? Well, up on my screen, and I don't know where I got it. I mean, I can find it, but I find stuff all the time. Lucifer has a hierarchy, my friends. And here's what it said. Lucifer is in control of the whole earth. By the way, he was. He was until Jesus died on the cross. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifested. He would destroy the works of the devil. So when Jesus came and died on the cross, folks, I'm sorry, he took back the earth. Satan does not run the earth anymore. Satan only runs the earth because we let him. Are you following me? And he's ruling the earth because we haven't been taught how to fight. We haven't been taught. He's got an army and a trained army, and we don't even know we got an army. Lucifer's in control of the whole world, and we know that according to Scripture, so that's not a debate. I'm debating it. If you want to argue about it, argue with God. Yada, yada. Anyway, it's a way to set this up. Here we go. I'll open it up right after this. Okay, get the picture now. Get the picture. The devil has a team, and the Lord has a team. The devil's not here on the earth. Jesus is here on the earth through the Holy Spirit inside of me. Lucifer, Satan, is not omnipresent. Remember, God's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, and what's the other one? He's all-knowing. He's everywhere at once. I'm forgetting the third one. The devil's not. The devil is a created being. He can only be in one place. So what does he have to do? He sends out his workers. And he has a military structure set up. The principalities are the generals over a specific country, and they give orders to the powers. Stay with me. We're going to get to the powers. You say, what? Yes, there is a spiritual demon, a principality over the United States of America. Yes, there is, folks. You go to Washington, D.C. I don't want to open this can of worms. You go to Washington, D.C., the Masonic is everywhere. The Washington Monument is a phallic symbol. And it connects to the, I could do a whole teaching on this. I'm not going to. There is a principality over our country that is not Jesus. It's just not. It isn't, because we haven't taken it. Stay with me. So it says, look at a country and see what sin is prevalent in that country. And you can tell what kind of fallen angel is in control. That's a whole different topic. You can usually figure out its name too. It would be interesting to take a map of the world, gather information starting at the country, and plot it right down to the city. There are rulers over counties. Do you know that the Masons, I'm not going to beat up on the Masons today. Do you know that here in Ohio anyway, there are 88 counties. Do you know there's a Masonic temple in all 88 counties? Did you guys know that? Did you know there are principalities and powers over control of individual cities? Did you know that? Are they teaching us that in church? You say, oh, Coach, that's crazy. Well, go listen to somebody else then. Go listen to somebody else tell you how rich and healthy and happy you can be. Go ahead and do that. And meanwhile, the devil's eating our lunch because we don't understand what's going on around us. I'm sure you would see a pattern develop. If we could map all of it, we would see it. So we have principalities. And what are they? Those are generals over areas, over towns, or whatever. And then we have what the Bible says, rulers, powers, and rulers of darkness. And these powers and rulers of darkness are over a specific state, province, territory, county, township, city. It's getting easier to tell what fallen angels in control by looking at what's going on in that particular state. Look around. And they give orders to the spiritual wickedness that's in the high places. I'll get to the high places here in a second. Let's take, for instance, the state of Nevada in the good old USA. You can bet, pun intended, your last dollar to the fallen angel over that state is somehow associated with gambling or drug running or prostitution or mafia. That is the power over that, right? That being true, then, you can also bet that he has demons, devils, evil spirits under his control. So there we have what? We have the principalities. We got the generals. And then we have the sergeants. And then we have the corporals. And then we have the lieutenants, or backwards, however that goes. But there's a hierarchy, folks, that we're dealing with. There's a hierarchy. So what is spiritual wickedness in high places, then? What does that mean? These are the main ones causing all the trouble, although the others, including Lucifer himself, is on the scene causing havoc. Spiritual forces impacting human beings. These are easy to identify by a name. You can go through the sin, yada, 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 yada. One or more will be over a country or over a state, and they're going to be over cities and over counties. Then you'll have a whole bunch of these demons, these evil spirits, who are controlling everything from there. Why are they controlling everything from there? Because we don't understand. We don't understand what our war is. We don't understand why we have to put on our full armor. We don't know what the weapons of our warfare are. We don't understand it. Their main goal is to stifle churches and stop revival. It's pretty easy most of the time because pew sitters are such willing subjects. See, our carnal nature takes us to hatred, unforgiveness, drunkenness, adultery, homosexuality. That's our carnal nature. And the enemy uses our carnal nature to destroy things, right? But don't understand this, that there's a spirit trying to control all of us, keep us locked in here. If a move of the Holy Spirit starts, it's quickly quenched in a church, anywhere. Why? Because of these principalities and these powers and this army that we're fighting against, spiritual wickedness in high places. It says the churches that they have a hard time, the churches that they have a hard time with, they will send in special followers such as witches or Satanists to disrupt. They have infiltrated our churches. They infiltrated the seminaries. Who has? These evil spirits around us. Listen, if you're not picking it up, go listen to somebody else. If you think I'm crazy, go listen. If you think I'm crazy, then you think Paul was a liar. You think Jesus was a liar. You think John was a liar. This is so clearly spelled out to us, and we don't even have any idea what's going on. I'm going to pause a second because I don't want to leave any of you in. Oh, it's quarter up. I'll pick this up next week. Let's see. Who am I seeing down here? Marty, did you want to get in there? John's name. I'm sorry, folks. Jeff, I'm trying to get somebody that hasn't come in yet.
I know Juan wanted to come in. Juan, why don't you unmute yourself, brother?
Somebody, come on in. Don't be afraid. Nobody's going to laugh at you here. This is a great place. Folks, this is a great place to ask questions. If you're hearing this for the first time, this is a great place to ask questions. Because if we don't know what we're fighting against, if we don't understand our war, if we don't know who our enemy is, we're not to be ignorant of his devices, it's told to see. See, this is not, it's not Republican against Democrat. It's not any of that. It's controlling spirits with this hierarchy that I just showed you. Okay? Cool. Nobody wants to come and say anything?
I got you, Coach. Hey, listen, it's very simple. We have to fight against these bastards, all right? We're not going to win by sitting on tears. We're not going to win by letting the preacher dictate stuff to us. We have to occupy.
Occupy. Vinny, you're having trouble with your microphone today, Vinny. I don't know what it is.
Me on purpose, Coach.
So we have to occupy. What does that mean we have to occupy? What does it mean that we have weapons and war? What does it mean? What does all of this mean? Okay, real quickly, Sheldon, go to Psalm 2.
Dave, yes. Okay, I was just going to say that one of the things that we're talking about, putting on our armor and all that, and we're in a war, we know what the, we need to know what the mission is. See, God is talking to us sometimes. He does talk to us. And if you've ever been fortunate enough to actually have the Lord give you a message, talk to you personally, once you get that confirmation, once you know his voice, you're not, I don't think you need confirmation the next time he says something to you. Right. You heard his voice.
You understand? You hear his voice. Like Chad came in here. I didn't have to say, come on in, Chad, because as soon as he spoke, I recognized his voice. Why? I've heard it a lot of times. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. I know Chad's voice. I know Larry's voice. I know Randy's voice. You guys know my voice. I speak all the time. We're supposed to have that type of relationship with the Lord, too. And so the Lord, remember, fish tank. The Lord's sitting outside the fish tank, and he's watching, and sometimes he's trying to get a signal to us. And the devil's minions, they're sending signals too. They're trying to block the word of God that's coming to you. The Lord's trying to direct you, and they're impacting, not letting you hear it, and having distraction, and the TV on, and the radio on, and the plumbing breaks, and anything you can do to distract you away so that you don't hear his voice and obey. Somebody, am I making sense here? Anybody think I'm, I don't care.
That's exactly the point there. What you're talking about. Remember when Daniel was praying and he prayed for 21 days, he said, what's going on? He says, hey, the devil was, or
the
I had to go back and get Michael.
Oh man, this
they're scared of the prayer, but it's effective. Doing things, you're calling upon assistance from the Lord, and they don't want that because they want you fighting carnally.
Amen.
That's where they're weak at, and that's where they're strong at.
We are in a, what's a carnal mind? The carnal mind means you just,
amen.
Hang on a minute. A carnal mind simply means just your thoughts and your ideas. That's the carnal, natural mind. And the Bible says that that natural mind ain't good enough to fight this other stuff that's going on. There's a spiritual war going on, and you need the mind of Christ. If you get the mind of Christ, now you know how to fight against the devil and his minions. Principalities and powers of evil. You know how to fight against them. But if you have never been taught that, you are fighting with your own intellect, and that ain't going to get it done. Come on in. Was that Mark? Somebody came in there?
Coach, you are absolutely hitting the nail on the head. And not only the fighting part, but some of our weapons, like prayer, for instance, the natural mind cannot figure out what to pray for. God knows what plan. God knows what to pray for. And I believe that's why Jesus taught us to pray for his will. There's a couple other things that reply to us. He taught us to pray for our daily bread. He taught us to pray for forgiving us as we forgive others. He taught us pray not to be led into evil. But other than that, the only thing we were told to pray for was what God wants. And when we try to figure out what we think God wants or how God should work this out, I believe we get in the way of it.
So here we are, folks. Thanks, Larry. Psalm 2. Let's bring this into the natural realm real quick. I'm trying to get my lesson done here. Looking at my notes. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? This is Psalm 2, folks. Look at this. The kings of the earth set themselves. The kings of the earth and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, now, come on now, hang on here. Back when this was written, you mean to tell me the king of Iraq knew the king of England? They communicated, what, they have cell phones? Did they do, what, how did, what's that called? Telegram? Telegraph? Is that, how did they communicate with each other? It says they take counsel together. Did they have a conference call? Did they have a conference call in 800 BC? Is that what they did? No, these are spiritual forces. They are the rulers. They're the rulers. They work in and through men, the rulers of darkness of this world, impacting the natural world. You with me? So here's what I'm trying to get here. Oh, my goodness, I only got 11 minutes. Maybe I'll pick up more of this next week. So I know what my weapons are. This way you need a piece of pencil and paper. You know what your weapons are not? You know what they are? You know what they are? I'm going to give them to you right now. Number one, prayer. Prayer is a weapon. But folks, listen, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul. No. Not if we're at war. Not if we're at war against principalities and powers. No. How about this? How about saying a prayer that applies the word of God to the situation? So I find that I'm afraid of some situation. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Lord, I thank you that you said that I am more than a conqueror. Lord, you said you would never leave me. You would never forsake me. Lord, you said that I would tread over the scorpions and the serpents and all the power of them. Folks, praying the word of God in a specific situation is one of your weapons. It's not sitting around begging. It is the Holy Spirit of God praying through you. The words of your mouth coming out of your mouth are evidence of your belief. Your evidence of your belief. I'm more than a conqueror. It's not just something you say. Lord, this situation's coming into my life, but your word tells me that I'm more than a conqueror. It's not name it, claim it. It is evidence of your heart and what you believe. That's what it is. Lord, I see what the situation says, but I'm praying what your word says about that situation. And Lord, I'm going to pray the word, and I'm going to allow you to release the ministering angels who will get victory over that situation for me. Is this sounding like name it, claim it? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? I think about how much time we spend in prayer, and it's all about us. Oh, give me this, and give me this, and protect me from this, and protect me from that. And we are never, ever taking ground, ever taking ground. When we're supposed to be casting down imaginations, pulling, we're supposed to be doing all of it, and we're not doing it. Number two, prayer. We can come back to all these. I'm just trying to get through them today so that you have. Thank you, Sheldon, for putting that up there. Second thing, praise. Praise. Folks, please hear this. Wait. Praise is not going into church and singing and dancing music. That is not praise and worship. Praise is lifting up the name of the Lord in every situation that you are in. Lord, I thank you that you are the King of the kings and the Lord of the lords. I thank you, Lord, that there's no name above you, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You are praising the Lord for who he is, not just dancing around in a circle. Your praise is evidence of what you believe. And the Lord's sitting up there, and he looks down and says, whoa, I love that one there. There's some praise right there. Whoa, there's some faith. That's what praise is. Not that you don't sit around and listen to praise music, but can I tell you this? Praise music just touches your emotions and your feelings. It's real. You like praise music because it makes you feel good. Praise is saying, Lord, I know that you are king over this situation. You are the King of the kings, Lord Jesus. It's a confession of your words, of your prayer, and walking it out. Walking it out. I said number four, I've already put some of these together. Praying the word, speaking the word. You say, well, coach, I don't know the word. Wow. You don't know how to use your weapon, huh? You don't know how to use your weapons. That's sad, isn't it? That's where most of us are. Because, see, we've become convinced in the church that the devil rules the world. We don't even know it. And number four, I put down there, see, I put the word, pray the word, speak the word, read the word, wash your mind with the water of the word. That's word. The word's the power. The word's the power. Praise the word. Use the word. And then number four, it says confession. Confession is speaking the word, not name it, claim it, but Lord, I see this mess I'm in, and this is what you say about this mess that I'm in. You say, Lord, that I'm more than a conqueror. Lord, you said that my eyes have not seen and my ears have not heard. Neither has it even entered into my mind the things that you have in store for me. Do you understand this, folks, that your prayer life is doing nothing more than applying out of your heart what you believe God said about the situation you find yourself in? You're not using the word as a bailout. You're the word out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And how you sit down in prayer, think about this, come on now. You sit down in prayer, you get up from the prayer table, and then you walk off and you continue to you begin to speak doubt about the situation you just prayed for. So you prayed a bunch of words, but you didn't pray it with faith. You didn't pray it in faith. No. You didn't do that. The number 5, 6, and 7. I want to get to pull them in here real quick, because I only got 5 minutes left. But I think we'll pick this up next week. I got a lot more stuff to give you. Fasting. You fast? Do you ever deny yourself anything? Ever? I try to live a lifestyle of fasting. I'm not bragging. Didn't mean it to sound that way. But fasting is nothing more. Sometimes it can be food. It can be other things. It can be television. It can be, oh, you ready? Internet. Fasting the internet. Something that is of value to you, you say as a form of praise, Lord, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do that, Lord, in honor to you, which, by the way, is a form of praise and worship. When you exalt him to his place, get off the internet, exalt him to his place, that's crazy. Worship, folks. Maybe I'll do a show on that. We've done shows on before. I'm running out of time. How about this? Number 6, obedience. What? Yeah. Has it ever dawned on you of the power that's available just through obedience? Just doing what he told you to do and not doing what he didn't tell you to do? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought how much trouble you got yourself into just because you didn't obey? You didn't obey. You didn't do what he asked you to do. And so the power that we have to overcome the world, Jesus said, be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. How's he overcome the world? Even your faith. What is faith? Faith towards God. What is faith? Faith is nothing more than believing what you cannot see. In fact, the word says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I know through faith, when I jump in Buckeye Lake, I'm not going to drown because I know how to swim. That is faith. I know it, that I can do it, because why? I just know that I can do it. Now, a lot of faith comes through experience, but if you're living a life where you've had a lot of prayers answered by the Lord, can you tell me why you have so little faith when you go into the next situation? You have so little faith? I know why. God got a brand new gun. Yeah, I told you. I got a brand new gun. And I got faith that gun will work. I got a lot of faith it'll work. But I ain't got much faith I can hit anything with it. I know the gun will fire, but I'm not sure I'm going to hit anything. Why? Because I haven't exercised that weapon. I don't know. So are you confessing the word? Are you praising the Lord, lifting them up? Are you applying his word to the situation you find yourself in? Are you speaking the word, confessing the word, and fasting that the word might be more powerful? Are you being obedient to what he tells you to do? And are you praying and acting in faith? And I think we'll find out. But for the most part, we're not doing that stuff. We're not.
You gotta live it, brother.
We got our weapon. Hey, we know what our weapons aren't. We just don't know what they are. And then thank you, OJ. And then the last one, I put it up here. I thought I did. Maybe I did. Yes, I did. Confession. Repentance. Lord, I have so failed you in this.
Lord, I'm bless you, Dave.
Confession. Lord, I'm sorry. Who does, when, if you have children out there, who of you out there that have children, if your child comes to you and confesses and apologizes, don't you guys come back in right relationship? We need to confess to the Lord our weakness and where we've fallen and where we've missed the mark. And Lord, strengthen me and understand he didn't want to keep you down and keep beating you with a rod. He wants to forgive you. Confession brings you back in right relationship. Chad, is that you? Somebody tried to come in there real quick.
It wasn't Chad, but let me tell you, this is what it is. Yeah, because usually people, when confession is used to take advantage of people, godly people do not use confession to take advantage.
Amen. So as we wrap this up here, folks, as we wrap this up here on Sunday morning, by the way, share this with others. It's available at our website. It's probably available on YouTube as well. See, folks, we're losing the spiritual war. Number one, we don't know there is one. We have no understanding of the war. We don't understand that the devil has a team. He has generals and sergeants and lieutenants and corporals and privates. He has a team, and they're organized directly against us. But we have a team. And here's what our team is, and here's what our weapons are. But we don't use our weapons. We don't use our weapons appropriately. We have a new gun and have no idea how to shoot it. We know prayers work, but the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we're not effectual and fervent with our prayers. We don't get it. We don't understand. Lord, help us to understand the spiritual realm and the application of your word and your principles and your directives, Lord, and getting victory over. Awaken us, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us. We'll see some of you tomorrow. Share this with others. Some good stuff here. Sit down before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be more effective in here. Lord, quit. Lord, please don't make me so dependent on my pastor and on my elders. Lord, help me, Lord, to become a more effective, more powerful Christian for you. God bless you. We'll see you later.